This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo!
Yo!
What's going on, kid?
Oh, nothing. How are you today?
I'm great, man.
A little gloomy outside.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Dark and gloomy. Yeah.
Doesn't bother me. I like it. You need it every once in a while.
Doesn't bother you. I feel like once we change the clocks, living in this part of the country, this is basically what it looks like. You know, if it's not cold and snowy, not actually cold and snowy, then it's just kind of chilly and cloudy. And that's what you get. Until, you know, like March. That's why March feels so good. You get that first sunny day, but we're just now sitting into it. The Christmas stuff helps.
Yeah.
At least me and my mood. But then when Christmas is over, that's when I think winter actually starts here. It used to start earlier. When I was a kid,
it snowed. You got those months like January, February, March where you're like, yeah. And then April kicks around and you got opening day again. It's not too bad.
It's not that long. As you get older, it doesn't feel like nearly as long as when you're a kid. But it did used to snow in November. I think somewhat frequently here.
Yeah.
I recall having snow days in November. And
I wasn't, you know, obviously a kid here, but you know, I think I don't see it in, you know, my friends' Facebook feeds in Detroit
either.
And there was never a year of me growing up that, you know, people got to see your Halloween costume.
Right, exactly.
You just had a
winter
coat on.
Always, always freezing.
Yeah.
And a lot of times here we'd get like a drizzle and it'd be freezing. Yeah. So every kid had a winter coat on.
Yeah.
Now it seems like just about every Halloween. It's like the first sort of brisk night of the year, you know? It's
right,
just kind of nice out, but yeah, it has definitely changed. I will be honest with you. I never saw that global warming movie, the Al Gore thing.
Oh, yeah.
I never saw it. When it came out, I was like, sounds scary, whatever. But I'm still to this day, if I turn on the news and they're like, well, the ice caps are melting, I'm like, let's watch something else here. So I've never seen it. But I'm kind of curious if you went back and looked at it.
Like
how much
you
got.
Get, right?
Yeah. And how much, if you just told people in the year 2000, whenever that was, and said, hey, here's what it'll be like in 2024. And maybe people will be like, well, that's not nearly as bad. I don't know. Because like I said, never seen it. But whatever.
Hmm.
The cloud, some things stay the same. And it's cloudy here in the winter. And that's that. Oh, no, you took a break.
Yeah.
You didn't bet anything.
No.
But so remember that big parlay?
Yeah.
Well, I made that big. I was like investigating.
Stuff,
I was looking up these guys' stats. Was it Central Michigan, right?
Yeah, it was Central and Western both played last night.
But I bet on Toledo and Central Michigan, and I didn't win. I just looked to see if I won. I couldn't look up all those guys' stats last night.
Oh,
Lazo, how is that possible? Every single thing I bet... The internet said all those guys had done. We played it safe. If a guy got 150 yards a game, you said play it safe and see he'll get more than 60. That's
right.
What I did. If the guy passes for 300 yards, I don't know. I don't know. Does it tell you? My God, I missed on three out of the five of them.
One, two, three.
Yeah, not so good. Well, I'm almost out of money.
Well, he's got this weekend.
Yeah, I got a little bit left. I got to make it up, I guess, on Thursday or this weekend. But you said you were taking a break. How many weeks did you get pummeled?
2 weeks in a row.
It was just 2 weeks?
Yeah, so I'll bet this weekend.
Okay, yeah.
Or maybe I will sit this weekend out and bet next weekend.
Are you just waiting for like a game where you feel really confident, or are you just taking a break?
Just like, to
break,
know, clear my head. Like, no, not even financially. Like, clear my head, because I was on such a heater that I think you get overconfident. You're like, oh, of course he's going to do this. And so you start to put a little bit more money on it than you usually do.
Well, that's what I did.
And then you're like, okay, let's just slow down.
Yeah.
You're still up.
Yeah.
Take a couple weeks, breathe, and then go back into it with, you know, like I cashed out all my money and put it in my bank account.
Yeah.
And then, all right, now you're going to have to deposit it. You're going to have to, you know, take a little bit of a breather, see what happens. Where were you?
Yeah.
I'm like, of course David Montgomery will score $100. And I'm like, why didn't David Montgomery score?
I know. It's crazy. Right. Well, like last night, and I was like, I think I bet $50 last night, which I think is a lot, because usually I'll just bet a few dollars here and there.
Me too, $10.
$50 is a lot. And so I bet $50 last night, and the fact that it was only going to pay me $700, remember, I was upset. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm betting $50 here. Mm-hmm. I bet like six different legs on this thing. And
we still got three out of five wrong.
It doesn't work, right? So just forget it. I think what happened was with last Thursday's game, because if I just stuck with my original bet, I got everything right on that and would have won over 1,000. But then I just took the Bengals and went straight up instead to give me an extra couple hundred. So greedy. So I think I thought, oh well, I can do this.
Paid a lot. I mean, yeah, you know, I've never stopped for good.
I haven't gotten one more than three legs in a parlay. I haven't gotten one ever. That big. I mean, and I usually will just bet simpler things because I don't totally understand all the sports betting. So yeah. I'll bet, like, here's what the score will be. I love to bet baseball because it's so easy to do. But with the bigger parlays, I usually will just go with, like, a pre-built one most of the time. And I've never won a big one.
Right.
What's the biggest one you've ever won?
Like, thousands.
Money-wise. It was over 2,000?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you bet, like, hundreds? Or was it like maybe off of a $1,500 bet?
Yeah, $1,500 bet.
And it paid thousands.
That one that I first pitch, Aaron Judge, last baseball season.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I do remember that. And in that moment
first
when it happens.
First pitch, extra bases.
Just tell me what it feels like when you're watching it on TV.
It wasn't on TV.
Happening. Oh, was
so
it?
I was watching it live.
Watch it online.
I was watching it live on the thing. And it's like, you know, first pitch. And it was like, then there's just a pause. And I'm like, all right, what happened? And it was like, boom. You know, Aaron Judge hit a triple off the wall or something. I was like, what? I think I might have been for a home run.
Okay.
First pitch home run.
I'd love to experience watching a game on TV at home and have something that big on the line. And win. I mean, I've won.
This year,
I've won, but
I won thousands on that.
That's what I was thinking. You won something big not that long ago.
Montgomery scoring the first touchdown and Amron St. Brown scoring the last one.
Yeah.
That was, the odds on that are like
astronomical.
Crazy, astronomical. So, yeah. And then when he threw that ball, and Amron, and then the other team, I don't remember who they're playing now, the other team drove down the field, looked like they were going to score. Like, oh, no. Like, those last 4 minutes of the Lions, you know, committing a pass interference when the game's over.
Oh, yeah, that's
like, why are they trying to score?
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah.
But eventually the Lions got an interception in the end zone.
When you're so close like that, and all they need to do is just finish it, just put it
Everybody
away.
Everybody knows this game's over.
It's
what
like,
are we doing?
That, and that's what happened to me with that Bengals game. Like, okay, well, I get they're going for two. This is insane, but just get it.
Right, yeah.
They'll get it because, you know, it's meant to be now.
Right, yeah.
And then it's just not. It just doesn't happen. So,
sorry,
you know,
man.
That's the world of betting. I think what I'm going to do is take
There's
a look
ups
through.
And downs.
There's got to be free money in some of these other apps. I've still been using that same app because they gave me free money 3 months ago or whatever. I have not had to deposit money into that thing since that meeting 3 months ago when I downloaded
there you go.
It.
So
that's pretty
winning.
Good. Yeah, and I've been putting
been
taking a little bit
yourself.
Out.
So yeah. For, you know,
yeah. So I should just take a look at the other ones and see what kind of free stuff I can get.
Yeah. You probably, like, there's new ones, too.
I know, because the one
like,
that
I haven't
got,
opened an ESPN bet account.
If you don't bet with them for a while, they'll give you money again to come back. Because that's what happened
and
with
I
me in this
if
app.
If you open up that ESPN one, they'll, you know,
give you some
Pretty
sort of.
Start,
I don't think. Yeah,
sure.
I don't think I used that one.
Mm-mm.
I don't think I ever did. So yeah, maybe that's what I'll do. Someone can tell me on Twitch who's handing out that free money. Twitch.tv/Church of Laszlo.
The Church of Laszlo.
Church of Laszlo.
On 98.9 The Rock.
So all I saw, I don't know anything more than you. I just saw it that one of the options to build the new Royal Stadium is like two blocks from my house.
Yeah. Like, close enough that if they move there, we could park at your place and walk.
Oh, yeah. I mean, unless they take my house because they're putting the stadium there.
Well, that's
like, that's how close it is.
How would that work? Because if you're going to build it, when they said they were going to build, when they wanted to build downtown, big part of it was you know, there won't be as much parking. There will be parking, but there won't be as much. And the idea is you'll get a ride in, or you'll take public transportation, or take the streetcar or whatever from a parking garage somewhere.
Sure.
But if they put it in Overland Park, then I would think that they'd want to put a full-size parking lot there.
Well,
I don't know where they would fit that.
So this is what a buddy of mine, me and him, looked up. So, like I said, I don't know. I'm not a city planner. I have no idea. But the entire sports complex where the Chiefs and Royals are now is 260 acres.
Okay.
That...
Wow.
That golf course where they're talking about putting the stadium is 138 acres. So if you don't have Arrowhead and you don't have to do all the parking for 70,000 people, you only have to do it for 30,000,
Right, and now they also do the vertical parking. They
do you can do structures.
Garages.
And, you know, if you're going over Antioch, you could have all that parking at Corporate Woods and have people walk over to the stadium. Then you've got all everything off College back there. So what they're talking about putting it in is like Antioch and College, basically.
Yeah, which would be essentially if you're from the area, then you know exactly where that is. If you're from the Missouri side, if you're heading into Kansas on the interstate and you get to just past Metcalf, you just basically would go past Metcalf. And
right, like if you're coming from the stadium, just stay on 435 and get past Metcalf and get off.
And that would be it. It would be right over in that area.
Right.
Where they've done a bunch of stuff recently.
Because they were putting up, you know, another one of those big, you know, multifunctional shopping condo places being built on that golf course.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, that's all being built now. They only widened the roads.
I see that they've done work. I know that they were doing the road work and a lot. Right. I didn't know exactly. I guess a lot of times when I'm over there, it's dark out, so I hadn't seen it. They've already started building the shopping thing. Like it's already gone up. Or
no.
That's why I didn't know.
They widened the roads first and they knocked everything out, and then now I guess they're building it. But maybe they'll pause that and be like, yo.
Okay. Well,
and then the other location was 119th and Nall, which is clearly not far either. There's already, you know, a bunch of stuff there.
Yeah, 119th and Nall, 95th and Antioch, and then I thought that I heard that there was potentially a third spot in Johnson County.
That I don't know.
But I only see the two addresses on here.
103rd and Antioch, wasn't it?
Well, this says two Johnson County sites mentioned. This is from Fesco. I don't know what website this is because it's been sent to me from Microsoft. But it says the Johnson County sites mentioned in Fesco's report are the former Sprint campus on 119th and Nall.
Right.
Okay. Well, there's definitely room there. That would make sense.
Right,
and
by
then
the J.
It says, and a site at 95th and Antioch along I-435.
Oh, well, he's wrong. It's just because
it's wrong? Okay.
It's just 103rd.
Okay.
He's just off a little bit.
Yeah. Jackson County legislator, blah, 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 has heard rumors of both Kansas City sports teams exploring alternative options. Yeah, so it's not just the Royals, potentially. It could be the Chiefs, too. But I thought if they were going to move to Kansas that what's it called? Legends would be too sweet a deal for them to pass up. It's already got all the shopping. It's already got some hotels. I just thought that made sense. If they were going to move to Kansas, that's where they'd put it.
But if they were to put it at, I don't know, at 119th and Nall, there's already a lot of stuff there. If they were to put it at 103rd and Antioch, and there was room for it, he could build his own.
That's the thing
where he could, at 136 acres, he could put the stadium there, put all the bars, all the shopping, everything he wanted, and own it all, and make a little baseball village, and have those little neighborhoods around it be like Wrigleyville.
Yeah. No, for sure you could. You could just get a place there because you know they'll have condos.
Well, my house would be right there.
I know, but I'm saying when your boys move out, you're like, I don't need this big house anymore. Or if they say, we're tearing down your house because we need the space. Well, great, I'll just move into Baseball Village.
Right.
You're meant to live there. You can be their ambassador.
Right.
You can be the head of ambassadorship for Baseball Village.
Oh, man.
Be responsible for helping lure people to the site. You'd be good at it. So, yeah, either one of them. I mean, even if they moved to Legends, that wouldn't be terribly far from you either.
No, it would be closer
but
anyway.
I thought the Legends thing, when they first brought that up, they're talking about the amusement park out there, and you've already got the soccer stadium out there, obviously, and then you've already got the shops. I just, in my mind, think, if you'd said, oh, what about this part of Johnson County, Antioch, I would go, well, they don't have room, right? But now that you've explained it to me, that's how many acres
they're trying to get rid of this golf course forever.
Okay.
And the guy who bought it has been trying to, you know, get rid of it forever. And I finally knocked down all the houses that were around there. I think he's got room. It's right off the freeway.
It says, you know, that they were exploring North Kansas City. I remember the North Kansas City thing, mm-hmm. but is that officially done? Like, the downtown thing, at least that downtown option was done because people voted on it, and that was that, right? So if they wanted to do it again, they'd have to come up with a different way of wording that.
Yeah, and the thing about Kansas City. Well, I don't know about North Kansas City either, but I know the thing about Kansas is they don't have to vote.
Right, they can just get it done with whatever that thing is called.
Star bombs or whatever. So.
And I feel like people on the Missouri side, if the Royals were going to move, now I don't want to speak for them, I don't know, but I could see people in Kansas City saying, if they're going to move, and they're not going to move downtown, then why move up to North Kansas City and still pay the taxes on it and all that? You know, if they're going to move downtown, maybe people would say, that's a better, an easier pill to swallow to pay for that. But if they're going to move to North Kansas City,
then
just move to
anywhere. I feel like anything of that stuff is still going to go to a vote. If I was the owner, I'm like, I'm done with that voting.
Right. No,
like,
I think it does.
The allure of Kansas is like, you know, the governor would be like, yeah, we don't have to vote on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what happened with the North Kansas City thing. Definitely was something that they talked about, and they talked about it on the news quite a bit. But when the downtown thing ended, it was just sort of like, well, now they're exploring Kansas, and I didn't hear anything about North KC. This thing just mentions it, but I didn't know if that was over or what.
I have no idea.
So, and they say both teams exploring, maybe it's possible that the Chiefs could be exploring Legends and the Royals could be exploring Antioch. You know, I don't know, but
I'm sure they don't have to move together.
No. There's no reason to, right? They don't have to do that. So if the Royals do move close to you, though, you gotta move there. If they build a baseball village type thing,
if they don't tear down my house, from where they are talking about,
I know, I get it.
It is a 3-minute walk.
But you've always talked about this idea of having a smaller condo when the kids are gone. All that.
Still, like I would now, I would never change anything. I just live there.
You'd be living in baseball village.
I would be.
Yeah,
I just walk to every game as an old man. Like you see those old guys outside. Wrigley catching the home runs.
Yep.
I just be old out there in a wheelchair catching home runs.
With your foldable chair.
Yeah.
And you would literally have the spot where people say, hey, we're going to go to the game. Can we just park at your house?
Yeah, and I'd say no.
You'd say no?
Yeah, you voted against it. Go back to downtown.
Well, you're Kansas friends. You're Kansas buddies.
Do we get the religious tax break for this?
That's a great point.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock.
It's time to doom scroll.
You don't know. Could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Herpes infected monkeys.
The only news that matters with the most trusted name in the business. This is Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo.
Powered by Brew Brothers at Harris, Kansas City. Now open daily for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yo. The news. Kelsey and Mahomes, both the victims of burglars.
Okay.
It looked like TMZ is the one that broke the story, yet somehow this happened a couple weeks ago. They talk about where Mahomes lives, which I saw when they were building his new place. I guess I saw it after it was built in that documentary. I think it was Netflix, Quarterbacks, one of those. Yeah. Looked nice.
Yeah,
and it looked
sure.
like Jordan-esque. It was palatial. Yeah. I haven't seen Kelsey's that I know of.
Mahomes lives in Cass County in a gated community in what is called the Village of Loch Lloyd. Everyone passes through one gate for the village, but for Mahomes' house, you go through two gates.
Mm.
Cass County deputies say this burglary happened Sunday, October 6th. The report showed no forced entry. Police would not indicate whether anyone was at home at the time. Now let's cross over to the home of Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce, who also lives in a gated community in Leawood, Kansas. A burglary happened at his home Monday, October 7th, according to TMZ, right after kickoff of the Saints Monday night football game. Police indicated Kelce's back door was damaged and $20,000 in cash was stolen. After the game, sources say Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift stayed at a downtown hotel.
Mm.
I don't know anything about Loch Lloyd. Do you?
Yeah.
That's one of those things that I hear thrown around. Someone will say, oh, they've got a really nice place.
Yeah, I think it's like a golf course community out there.
But is it its own city?
Neighborhood, I think.
Okay. Because I think, what did he call it? The town or the village of Loch Lloyd, whatever it is. I guess I thought, for some reason, when I saw Mahomes building that place, that he was building it. I would have sworn that it was in Leawood. But anyhow, maybe I was thinking of Kelce.
Because I remember him saying it.
Okay. Because for some reason, I thought Kelce had a place near where Mahomes' old house was, in that Mission Hills, Brookside kind of area over there. But I must have just been confusing the two. $20,000 sitting at the house. I mean, if you're that rich, that's like leaving. I'm trying to figure out what that would be. Would it be? It might be like leaving a couple dollars from me. I don't even know that it would be like leaving $20. Maybe, but when you're talking about
the amount of money,
millions and millions and millions, I don't know what $20,000 feels like. I'm sure most importantly, it feels like a total invasion of privacy.
Right.
And I'm sure also for someone like Mahomes is a big celebrity. And those documentaries, they're showing his house, and people are going to figure out where he lives. But for the most part, with local athletes, if they're kind of, even if they're stars like George Brett, feel like growing up, you hear about where these people live. If somebody went and did work on their house, if somebody worked on the house, like helped build the house, or if they went out there to do something, some sort of maintenance, like, yeah, I went out to George Brett's. Where does he live? Oh, out here. It wasn't necessarily always a well-known thing. But once Kelce started dating Taylor Swift, he entered.
So somebody broke into Travis Kelce's back door.
Yeah, like actually kicked the door, right?
So that's something.
That's definitely something.
The Mahomes thing, there was no forced entry.
Right, so how does that work? Because they say you got to go through two gates.
I wonder if no forced entry means somebody was able to jump the gate, and maybe, I know it sounds crazy, but if you live in a double-gated community, do you just leave your door open?
Maybe.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me. Like, you know, well, we got two gates.
The sheriff said that a break-in occurred at Mahomes' residence. That it was shortly, they gave a time, like sometime around midnight, but they didn't give any other details other than that. So, you know, that's why I think the news is trying to paint a picture here. There are a couple of gates to get to his place. Maybe you do leave a back door unlocked.
Yeah.
I don't know. You got kids, right?
I don't know.
There's a lot going on.
Like, I mean, there's not, how you're going to go through two gates to get here.
Right. And they did say,
just don't think about it.
Mahomes has a security guard, and or a whatever you call it. Sounded more like a personal security guard, but I could be wrong. Maybe it's someone
that works like there.
He called police.
Oh.
So I saw that and I was like, well, wait, if someone broke in, like, I want more details. Was he in the house? The story that I have doesn't have a lot of details. And at least when I pulled that audio from Fox 4, it sounded like they were working off the same thing.
Right.
But was this guy in the house and he confronted someone? Like, did he see someone in the house and then called the police? What happened? And I don't know that we'll ever know. Maybe they release that stuff. Maybe
they
don't.
It was taken from Mahomes' house?
I didn't see. Let's see. They say Kelce's home. It was $20,000. But the only details I got about Mahomes was break-in around midnight on October 6th. No other details.
Yeah. Well, quit breaking into their homes.
Right. What kind of person does that? Is it just someone who is like, I want money?
Well, I mean, or there's probably stuff in there.
Absolutely. You go, hey,
I might be $20,000 with you. I'm a criminal at heart. When they said they broke into Mahomes' house, the first thing I thought of was, man, I wonder what Jordan 4s I could get off that wall.
Absolutely.
Remember when they showed that thing? That I was like, man, I bet you he's got cool Jordan 4s in there.
Yeah, and
I
then
bet you he does. So I guess, you know, I wouldn't break into the guy's house to get him, obviously. But if you're, you know, a worse person and more desperate than I am,
yeah.
If you're going to break into anyone's house, there's probably cool stuff in those two guys' houses.
Well, yeah, and you're probably thinking, like with that whole Bling Ring thing a decade or so ago, when they were breaking into celebrities' houses in L.A., I think part of that was based on that documentary that they were doing it for the Rush and all that. But there was also really nice stuff in Paris Hilton's house. And you can just grab jewelry, clothes. I don't know, though, that with Kelce or Mahomes, as rich as they are, that I still expect to find a lot of cash. Cash is just one of those things that I would say, we might not find cash. We might be stealing jewelry and pawn stuff like that. I'm sure Kelce has some awesome jewelry.
Oh, yeah.
Nice things that we can pawn. Wait a little while for things to cool off. You'd have to, if you're pawning jewelry, you'd know better than me. But don't you need to drive, like, a couple states away before you start pawning that stuff?
Yeah.
I don't know how wide those alerts go out when they tell those pawn shops to look out for it. Yeah.
Because you have to give your driver's license.
Right.
You have to put what it is.
Yep.
Like,
if it turns up, they track it back.
And then they turn it in every night, at least in Michigan where I grew up, every night then in Florida, too. Every night, then, they make, like, a record of it, of what they did, and they give that to the cops.
Oh, they automatically give that to the cops.
Right, so they have it. So the cops have it. If something's missing, then boom, this is the jewelry we bought today. This is this.
Okay.
They keep it on file and record.
I know that they take your ID and all that. I see that happen in true crime things, the news, stuff like that, a lot, where that's how they end up catching someone. And I think just about every state, if not every state, does that. It's weird to think, when I was a kid, I remember being in elementary school, for some reason this sticks out to me, that a teacher was explaining to us that they were trying to pass this law that they would have to take your ID at a pawn shop. And we're like, why? Why would that be? Just to imagine what it was like before they took your ID. I mean, that's a totally different ballgame then. Because now you don't even have to drive three states away. You just go to the pawn shop. You've got all this jewelry.
Yeah.
Just, you know, sell it. That's it. They're not getting information.
But I think they used to, if they found that jewelry there, then I think what happened was that they would charge the pawn shop.
Pawn shop could be on the hook.
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
Possession of stolen goods.
Yeah.
So now I don't think that happens to a pawn shop as long as they've got all their paperwork in order.
I think that's what I've heard.
But I don't even know what happens because my ex-wife's car got broken into and they stole all of my kids' baseball stuff, like thousands of dollars worth of baseball
stuff.
And
your golf clubs, yeah.
Yeah, and, well, no, not that time. They've broken
into those two
car,
different
right.
times, okay.
And then we found some of it, like ran into it, like holy crap,
place.
That's... You're Batman, like, and there are just a couple things, like, I remember, like, this is your glove. It was an expensive glove, but there's a bunch of them out there, but this one where it said MLB on it,
mm-hmm.
I remember it was colored in red Sharpie, like, in the middle of it.
He's got
like,
that mother's
like,
love for it.
I know that glove.
Yeah.
So then, you know, we said, hey, did you buy all this stuff at the same time? And the guy looked at it, he's like, yeah. And he's like, well, you have to get a police report. So then you get the police report, but then, really... It was basically like, well, you know, you can buy the stuff back if you want.
Yeah, how do you prove, if something's got a serial number on it, if they steal
right.
electronics or whatever,
well,
like jewelry and all that,
had to do
it.
The report for the stuff, and like, this is the stuff that was stolen. It was stolen on this day. Here, you know the day you bought it and who you bought it from, and you bought all of these items on the same day from the same guy. It's obvious. Like,
yeah.
I don't have to be, but then they still, like, they didn't give it to us. They're like, well, you can buy it back. For what I paid for it. That's what they said it played again.
Really?
Like, so whatever.
Well, I mean, would they be on the hook for it if the police were like, yeah, it looks like this is their stuff? If they could somehow prove it, then even if that place followed all the rules when they bought,
they
the stuff,
then, well, I think what it is that they sell it back to you
okay.
at the price they paid for it.
Okay, so maybe that's
which was astounding
thing.
To me. Like, just give it to me.
Right.
But then the other part of that was also astounding, and, you know, whatever, played again, sorry. You're going to catch a stray here, but I was like, man, you mark up that stuff a lot.
Yeah,
what
that's how
you
it works.
What you gave that kid who broke into my ex-wife's car for that A2000 glove.
Yeah. That's not just him. That's how pawn shops work.
Right.
I mean,
but
you
I mean,
go to pawn shop,
like,
it's crazy.
At least I thought maybe, you know, sporting goods, the markup wouldn't be that big. Like,
yeah.
I understand jewelry and that pawn shop, like, you know, hey, they probably think, like, well, a lot of this stuff is stolen goods. I'm going to mark it up, right? Like,
yeah.
I'm going to give you nothing for it because you stole it, right?
Right.
Well, I feel like if a kid grew out of a baseball glove, you just don't give them nothing for it.
I don't know.
You know what I mean?
I used to sell to, like, CD Warehouse and GameStop, you know, anyone who's ever sold a game at GameStop knows that
yeah.
they might give you $2 and you go in there the next day and they're selling it for 30 or whatever.
Right.
It's like, that's not even close to half.
Yeah, people on our Twitch, if you want to watch Church Laszlo, that's the Twitch, twitch.tv/Church Laszlo, they should get the money back from whoever stole it, right? Yeah, I mean, that's
yeah,
what I thought.
Can.
I thought the cops would go at least, like, you know who it is.
Oh, well, that's right. Even at this place, they probably have the
they have
record.
The sheet
yeah.
of who
okay.
it was, but everybody was kind of just
yeah,
like, yeah, whatever, dude.
Is it because it's under a certain dollar amount worth of stuff?
It was a lot of stuff. It was thousands of dollars
yeah.
worth of stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess, you know, whatever.
And maybe it's harder to prove,
too,
because there isn't a serial number on it or whatever. Maybe it is harder to prove. They say, well, it's, you know, your word against his. You're saying that it had red Sharpie on it, but how do we know
right.
that? And, you know, I don't know how they do that. I would just imagine, I'm not surprised, I guess, that they're like, yeah, this is basically the end of the road. You can buy it for what they paid for it.
Yeah, I would think they would go get the guy.
Really?
I would think
depending
on
the city, I guess.
I guess in any city, I think they just have a cop drive over there and be like, yo, broke into a car? Like, we've
yeah.
got to stop. Like, I don't think it'd be hard to get a confession out of somebody. You're like, dude, the stuff's that played again, you got unlucky because they weren't looking for their stuff, but they were looking for, you know, a used something, whatever we happened to go in there for.
Yeah.
And they found the stuff. And, like, we know it's you because you gave your ID. Like, I can't imagine it'd be hard.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess if you told me that they did look into it, like, in Overland Park, I might
I
not be shocked.
I guess they'd have to be, I'd almost be, like, to the guy, like, well, show me the receipt where you bought it.
Yeah, but do you have to do that? You
no,
know what I mean?
But I'm sure,
what
like,
happens if you don't have the receipt? If I go to sell something at...
I know, and you say, well, I don't have it, but I think it would be worth a discussion. I thought it would be.
I'm with you. If they could get him to just admit it.
Or just go over there and be like, hey, because the guy's got the receipt for all the stuff that he bought.
Yeah.
Do you have any receipts?
Right.
Of any of the stuff?
Where'd it come from?
Right.
Yeah. And you might be able to get him to admit it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you bought it all cash at Dick's? That's weird, right? I feel like you would, you know, but whatever.
I don't know. Who knows what they would say, like, their priority is not theft or maybe. But, man, it seems like when there's jewelry involved, celebrities involved as well. But when there's jewelry involved, I feel like they try and track this stuff. They try and trace it back to who brought it in. If a pawn shop says, hey, I just had this person come in with this stuff. I don't know. Maybe that's because they think there could, this person could be guilty of other crimes, something more serious.
Right.
But I feel like they look into that.
Extra Small Pencil on our Twitch said this, too. But at least they know not to buy from. That's what the guy did say. He won't, you know, the guy's not allowed to sell any stuff here.
Well, that's fair. But, yeah.
The Church of Laszlo. The Church of Laszlo. On 98.9 The Rock. It's time to doom scroll.
You don't know, could kill you.
Murder hornets.
Corpies infected monkeys.
The only news that matters with the most trusted name in the business. This is Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo.
Powered by Brew Brothers at Harris, Kansas City. Now open daily for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yo!
Yo!
All right, we gotta hurry up. I gotta pee.
Okay, well, let me.
I didn't get a chance to pee.
Let me at least tell you the story about this.
Plus, there's beer here for me to drink.
I saw that. Quite a haul.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Let me tell you about this New York State Trooper who, a couple weeks ago, he's driving. It's nighttime. He sees a car pulled over on the side of the road. He assumes that it's some sort of troubled motorist, you know, like their car broke down or whatever.
Okay.
He goes over to investigate, and apparently someone gets out of this car and shoots this cop, shoots him right in the leg,
okay,
and then drives off. Now, he gave a description of this vehicle. He said, I think he said it was a Dodge Challenger, maybe Charger, something like that. And he said that it had a temporary tag. He also said that the shooter was dark-skinned, wearing dark clothing. So they launched this whole big search for this car because this person shot at a cop, right? That's a big deal.
Sure.
He goes to the hospital. He comes out of the hospital. There's people cheering. You know, he's got all this fanfare. He's considered like a hero. He survived the shooting. He's in a wheelchair. And then a few days later, the cops say, we're investigating this cop.
Really?
And the media's like, why? Did he shoot himself? I'm like, well, we wish we could tell you more, but we're investigating him. And we're actually launching two investigations into him simultaneously.
Thomas Macia was found to be in violation of our rules and regulations, and it is for this reason that he is suspended without pay.
Macia saying he had been shot approaching a black Dodge Charger. It set off a massive police search. Police say the whole thing was made up. An investigation that included a search of Macia's home. Sources tell News 4 investigators found a large amount of cash and weapons inside the house, and they are looking into whether the five-year state police veteran actually shot himself in the leg.
Okay, well, apparently also...
On purpose or on accident?
That's the question. That's a million-dollar question. Did he do it on accident? Did he do it on purpose? But they said two investigations. I'm searching. What's the second investigation? I guess a while back, he'd said that he was the victim of a hit and run. And so they're now investigating that as well. Also, this guy's like in his late 20s. He's a state trooper. When they went to search his house, it was his parents' house. So I guess he lives with his folks. And they also said that their
houses are expensive.
They are expensive. I'm sure in New York, it's no different.
Can't imagine.
They also said that his mental health is being taken into consideration. So I just wonder if you shoot yourself in the leg and hope to get some sort of early retirement. Because if you get shot on the job as a cop, I see a lot of these guys who are, you know, some of them have to retire. Some of them just say, like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah, right.
It's too much. I got kids, whatever. And I think you get some sort of retirement.
I'm sure you get a disability check or something.
You get shot, but shooting yourself in the leg could be risky. You could bleed to death.
So not really.
I wonder if he did it on accident. You know what I mean? Just it looked like it was in his thigh. It's hard for me to tell exactly where they're saying he got shot.
Was it a different gun? And then
well, that's what I'm wondering. Did they look into what caliber it was and realize, this is the same caliber as your gun, using the same kind of ammo?
You'd think you'd be smarter than that.
You would think, but also, I don't know. How do you do it on accident? Like, you're trying to take the gun out of the holster? You shouldn't be playing with it.
Yeah, like, but, you know, it fell out or something. You know, I don't know. But, you know, accidents happen with firearms. So maybe he shoots himself on accident. He's like, well, I can't say I shot myself on accident. He's screwing around with his gun or whatever. It goes off, shoots him in the leg. You can't tell anybody that. So you're like, hey, someone drove by and shot me. He's like, they won't check to see if I shot myself. Why would they do that?
Right.
But then the story, you know, picks up speed. Now he's being cheered, and he's like, hey, you know, it's not a big deal. Everybody quiet down.
Oh, so you think that could be the
end? Yeah, and then the story gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and then people are like, well, where is this black Dodge Charger? Like, you know, now they're looking for it. They can't find it. what the hell's going on here? And then all of a sudden, you know, somehow there's more questions, something comes up, and then dude lied about it because he shot himself in the leg. That's my guess.
Okay, so you're leaning that way. I'm leaning slightly over 50% that he shot himself on purpose. And that, for whatever reason, whether it was just to get attention for the fanfare, especially once I saw that he had this hit-and-run thing that they're investigating now as well. Like, is he a guy who's looking for attention? Is it one of those type of things?
I mean, that certainly could
be it. Mental health is being considered. Is it? What does that mean? Does that play into the, you know, attention-seeking? I don't know. But you should know if you're a state trooper, if you shoot yourself. There's a good chance the cops are going to figure
that
out.
Crackman on our Twitch brings up a good point. Does he have dash cam
footage? That was my thing. Where's the dash cam footage? It's not mentioned in these stories. There has to be dash cam, if not body cam footage, right?
Right.
So where's that footage? Did he, like, pull over and then purposely make sure that it was? I don't know how that works, because there should be cameras, if not on his uniform, then on his dash.
Yeah, you would think so.
Forever. I would think state troopers have those, too. So, and maybe it was that simple. Maybe they went back and looked at it, and they're like, good Lord. It's on video. And then they're like, we need to look into his mental health. You know what I mean?
Up next, speaking in tongues.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock.
Do you still go to the gym? Actually, you do go to the gym once in a while, right?
Yeah, a couple times a week.
Okay. I don't know when the last time I went would have been 2010 is a rough guess. 2011, something like that. I lived in an apartment where they gave you a gym membership because they didn't have a gym on premise. And the gym had like a pool. I think you know it. I can't think of the name. It was a nice place.
I know what you're talking about.
It was a place where they told me Chiefs players hung out there. I was kind of like, maybe they used to hang out here. But it's still pretty nice. They even had a little, I guess, a cafeteria where you could go in.
I know, I know what you're talking about. I can't remember the name. People know what you're talking about. You go in there, somebody would have like drinking parties in the gym.
Yeah.
You go in there and get a couple drinks and hors d'oeuvres around the weight room. Yeah.
Yeah. And I like they had
Scott's
brunch.
Or something. I mean, I don't remember.
It's been there a long time, I think. But they had a restaurant, and I remember taking my parents there for brunch one time, and I felt very cool because I got to use my membership card to pay for everything, so I felt like I was a member of a country club. I just went up there to swim, but I'd look at the gym equipment and go, okay, I'll try it. I had a friend at the time who said, you know, if you don't like to work out, what you do is you get really high, and then you go get on the treadmill. I was like, that doesn't sound great. And he's like, I'm telling you, you got to try it. So I was like, well, maybe this will be the thing that helps me exercise. So I tried that.
No.
That didn't work for me. I just remember thinking, like, now I really think I'm going to have a heart attack on this machine. And the older I get now, like, I need to go to the doctor because there are very simple tasks around the house, like drying the dog's feet off after they come inside in the rain, stuff like that. It shouldn't be difficult.
Right.
Where I stand up and I'm so lightheaded and out of breath and I can't catch my breath, I think that's a sign. Yeah. Do you get that ever, like, from something that shouldn't cause...
Well, of course. I mean...
Where you just go, I don't feel like I can catch my breath. You can't swallow. I don't get that so much, but... And it could just be that in that moment, I'm having a miniature panic attack because I think something's happening. But, like, it's really hard to catch my breath and...
Casey Runner Girl says she gets high and goes running all the time. I think people do it.
Yeah. I've heard of people say they like getting stoned and going to the gym. I don't know. Maybe getting drunk. I can see that. Mm. You know, when you're drunk, a lot of things sound good.
Mm.
Not drunk, but you know what I mean?
I just have to, like, drag myself to go. Like, I went Saturday night, I think, and, like, no part of me wanted to go.
Right.
No part of me wanted to be there. I didn't have any fun while I was there. But I just had, like, and then I might go tonight. I'll go, like, twice a week.
What do you do while you're there? A little freeways?
That's all I do.
I guess
I'll do like curls and bench presses, and then I'll ride the bike for like 2 miles, and then like whatever.
Well, your sons work out, so maybe
they work out and they go
motivate you, knowing that they're going to the gym.
Well, sometimes, but most of the time, to be honest with you, sometimes they'll be like, "Dad, let's go work out." But now that the older one drives, I hear a lot more like, "Hey, me and Chacho are going to go work out."
Okay,
and they'll just go themselves.
Okay,
because they know I'll be like.
Maybe. What if we went tomorrow? I'm not ready. Well, this was a roundabout way of me saying I don't know a lot about gyms, so and maybe this will all make sense to you, but did you see this Planet Fitness thing? Okay. Well, I'll tell you about it here in just a second. This is pretty crazy.
The Church of Laszlo.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What?
What?
I'm just asking, what?
Oh.
Why are you looking at me?
I don't know.
Am I drinking?
Are we on the air?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. So you didn't see this Planet Fitness thing? Because I just saw it when you went down to smoke. And I shouldn't chuckle, but it's so bizarre. And like I said, I don't know a lot about gyms, but aren't a lot of them like open 7 days a week? Isn't that kind of the point, that they would be open?
I think a lot of them are, yeah. Some, yeah. 24 hours.
Some are 24 hours, right? Yeah. That's not the norm, though, right? For, like, just a gym and a mall. Like, Planet Fitness probably isn't open 24 hours.
I bet they're open late. And there's some that have different... Some of them have tanning booths in them. Some Planet Fitnesses.
Well...
I've never been in a Planet Fitness, but so I've heard.
That's going to play into this story.
Well, there you go. Fact, see, I didn't even know it.
Yeah, this particular Planet Fitness had tanning booths. So this guy goes missing. He's 39 years old, and this is in Indiana. And he is on house arrest or some sort of parole,
right,
for drug-related offenses. He had an ankle monitor on. So I guess it's not really house arrest if you're allowed to leave your house. Maybe you're not allowed to leave the city or whatever it is, a certain however many miles from your house. I've never been on house arrest.
I thought you had to stay in your house.
Yeah, so it's not really house arrest. It's got to be something else. Some sort of monitored probation, parole, whatever.
Right.
And it was for drug-related stuff. So he goes missing. Now, apparently they knew that he had gone to Planet Fitness on a Friday.
Okay.
And because of this ankle monitor, these new ones, they can actually see where you're at. It's got GPS, which was a big complaint for a long time. Everyone thought that the ankle monitors had GPS, and these police departments were saying... They don't actually, some of them just let us know if they go out of a certain area. Right, so we don't necessarily keep tabs on them.
200 yards away from the base.
Whatever that is, okay, which could probably be your house. Yeah, so they were able to tell with this one that he had never left the Planet Fitness, yet he'd gone missing. So where is he? Well, then it just so happens that was on a Friday. That following Monday, a customer was at Planet Fitness, and... She smells something, and she says, you know, I don't mean to be rude, but I'm kind of using my nose to look around the Planet Fitness. Like, what am I smelling
Elizabeth
here?
Lynn says her Monday morning workout started like any other day until she noticed a foul smell.
And I was kind of like sniffing, trying not to look crazy, but I was like, something smells really awful here.
That smell coming from one of the tanning bedrooms where 39-year-old Derek Sink was found dead.
The first thing that kind of went off in my head was, you know, lack of attention from the staff members at Planet Fitness, which is pretty disappointing because maybe it could have been prevented.
So where was he?
In the tanning bed for 3 days.
Wow.
How does that happen?
Well, he had like a heart attack in there or something?
Well, we don't know, but we do know that he was on probation, parole, whatever, for drug-related offenses. Right. And one of the stories I saw said that they may have found a needle in the bed or next to the bed while he was there. So it looks like it's probably drugs.
Yeah.
But how do you end up in a tanning bed for 3 days?
And nobody notices.
And if they close it, maybe they don't. Maybe this one's... I couldn't find where it says the hours for this particular location because I don't even know exactly which location it's in. I just know that it's in Indiana there. But imagine you've got a loved one who goes missing and then you're checking with the P.O. Or maybe the P.O. is checking with you. Hey.
Yeah, I'm sure. Where is he?
Right. Where is Derek? Because he hasn't checked in or whatever it is. And then you know that he went to this Planet Fitness, and then you see on the thing that says he's still at Planet Fitness. Your thought is probably not, he died there because if he had died there, someone would have noticed.
Yeah, my thought is he took off the ankle bracelet
and left it at Planet Fitness.
Put it on a machine.
Yeah.
Hit it on the back of a machine so it's
going
moving.
On the elliptical.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't, like on the back of a bench press machine, tie it in there so it's moving up and down, and he's on his way to Vegas. That's what I would think.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think he'd be dead in the tanning booth.
No, especially because someone would have found him.
In a tanning booth is probably a pretty good way to go.
Well, that was what I was going to ask you. You already answered my question.
It's pretty good,
man. Is it a terrible way to go, or is it... I mean, he overdosed, which is tragic.
Yeah.
But I guess if you were going to overdose, in a tanning bed at Planet Fitness, better than on the street in San Francisco,
yeah.
Right, or in a tent
in a warm
village.
Place, you know, you're doing something nice for yourself.
Yeah.
You know you're going to look better here in a couple minutes when you get out. You know, it's not Heath Ledger and the Olsen twins coming over, but
no,
it's pretty good.
Yeah. No, you can't expect to go the same way Heath Ledger did. Did the Olsen twins get there when he...
One of them was the one who found him, I think.
She found him?
Yeah.
It's been so long, I can't remember, but...
Yeah, so he was getting
like
high.
Waiting for the Olsen twins.
Waiting for the Olsen twins to come over.
Yeah.
And then died. Fell asleep and died, like, painlessly. Like, all you're thinking is, like, I'm Heath Ledger.
I got this big
probably
movie coming out.
Probably going to win an Oscar for the Joker. I'm going to get high a little bit. And, I don't know, in like 20 minutes or so, the Olsen twins should be here. Okay.
Yeah.
And then you just drift off to sleep.
Yep.
Oh, man.
I mean, I've gotten high plenty of times without thinking that the Olsen twins were coming over.
No.
So, people who sit in judgment of someone with an overdose story or a drug problem, just in general, it's like, okay, how many of you that say that, though, have done drugs in the last couple years? Because I'm shocked. No. You know, it's... Oftentimes, a lot of you. But anyhow, it's an addiction. It's a disease,
sure.
Is what we say, right?
Sure.
So we're trying to change the way that we talk about that. And this poor guy, he's 39 years old. I'm sure he had loved ones who were worried about him or were hoping that he would be able to recover. And maybe you think if you got a drug problem that I've heard people say that going to jail got some people clean. I've also heard other people say they can get drugs in jail just as easily as they could on the outside.
Yeah, it's risky.
I would think it depends on how bad the
jail scared you. And how long you're going to be in. Like, if you're going to do, like, 3 months, I don't want to be doing drugs, Lemon. I don't need an extra month. Now, if I'm doing 15 years, then give me all the drugs you got. Whatever. Add 5 more. I don't care.
Yeah.
But if I, you know, so I think if you go in there and do 90 days or 6 months clean, well, then when you get out, you know, it's easier to stop.
Yeah, I would think so. I'm shocked.
Never stop me, but, you know.
Did you get stuff in the jail while you were there?
I didn't. But, you know, I think as soon as I got out, I'd smoked a cigarette, which was stupid. Like, man, you have gone without...
You hadn't smoked. Oh.
Right, but as soon as I got out, I walked across the street to the gas station, like, Jesus Christ, I'm dying for a smoke.
Well, of course, you've been thinking that the whole time, though, that you want that cigarette.
It kind of goes away after, like, 4 or 5 days.
But then did you get to the point where you're like, well, I want the cigarette, though?
No, because you're just in jail, so it sucks. But as soon as I got out and I saw a gas station, I was like, oh, they sell smokes, and I walked right across there.
Part of what I
didn't even think about it.
Yeah. Did the first one taste a little off?
I don't remember.
Been quite
it
long
felt like heaven.
Okay, it did still feel good.
Smelled like freedom.
Yeah, so it wasn't long enough anyway. If it still tastes good and it's still awesome, then you know, it wasn't really out of my system yet. So just forget.
Well, I was just standing there, you know, like, man, I'm able to smoke a cigarette. And, well, I don't know what I'm going to do now, but...
But what else do you need to do? You're free and you're smoking a cigarette. My final question for you about this gym thing is they say there's no such thing as bad publicity. Is this bad publicity for them just in the sense that if you go, if there's a tanning bed at your Planet
Fitness...
they don't
clean it up at the end of the night, that's for sure.
And you're thinking
nobody
they wipe the stuff
down.
Aren't they supposed to do that?
Yeah.
Or maybe it's up to the person who uses it. Sometimes those gyms say you're supposed to do it, right?
Somebody else has got to come in and wipe it down.
Okay, that's kind of what I thought.
You know, you can't trust people to do it, but maybe you wipe it down when someone leaves, and so they never saw anybody leave.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, I obviously saw somebody go in. Well, maybe they didn't see anybody go in.
But it's bad enough that
it
smells.
I've never been in there.
Did the lights are on a timer, right? So he didn't cook in this thing, did he?
No.
He just started to smell because after a few days, people start to smell. Because I feel like that's the worst part of the, as far as the publicity goes, like that a customer was like, it smells in here, and she was able to follow her nose to find this dead body in the tanning bed. It sucks, but you say... Not a terrible way to go.
Okay. Not a terrible way to go.
Time to pass the collection plate.
Give with a joyful heart.
and you will be blessed.
The Church of Laszlo on 98.9 The Rock.
Talking to people on our Twitch, which is twitch.tv/Church of Laszlo. You can listen to our podcast. It's available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Spotify, Apple, etc. It's also reddit.com.
/r/Church of Laszlo.
Yep, and you can text us, 913-586-7989. Have you watched any of the, like, build-up to the Jake Paul, Mike Tyson?
No, I'm definitely watching it tonight, though, 100%. I was going to start it last night. I realized
I've watched three
asleep.
Of them. I think there might be a fourth now.
Okay, I want to watch it. My brother texted me and said it was good. He's excited about it. And he's a huge, huge, huge Tyson fan. And he's not a huge Trump fan, this particular brother. And so he said he's really worried that he could get two, what he said would be big losses for him in a month.
Sure.
And I said, well, okay, I don't know. Whose odds did I like better going into it? Trump's odds or Tyson's? I honestly don't know what to expect because Paul he's serious about this stuff. And in the past, he's done pretty well. He puts on a pretty good show.
He does.
And he's 30 years younger. So,
and I'll be honest with you, I was talking to my boys about it. We're going to watch it, obviously. And I was like, who do you guys think is going to win? They're like, well, you know, Mike Tyson's 58. But you almost forget, because they're both teenagers. And they're like, you know, the other thing is, like, all we hear about is you talking about what a badass Mike Tyson was. I've never seen him fight.
Oh, my goodness.
They've never seen Mike Tyson fight. They've seen highlights of him biting an ear.
But they've never watched
a full fight. They have any idea.
Even if they just sit down and watch those, there's several of them on YouTube that are like 45 minutes, 90 minutes, where it just shows from his career from beginning and just shows him knocking everybody out. And it gives you kind of a quick recap of every fight, lets you see how the fight ended. They at least got to watch that. I think if you watched him fight when he was 19, 20 years old, just see those videos, then you'd have a little bit of an understanding of what was so different
about him. But it's still just, you know, even they show highlights in this thing and they saw it, but it's just highlights. You're like, all right, well, who was the other guy? I don't know who he was. Like, what?
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I guess, you know, it's been a long time, a really long time, even if you're in your 30s, because when he was biting off ears, I mean, when was that? He fought some, and you just watched this thing, so I'm sure they go over it. But he fought in the 2000s, right? But by then, I don't remember which fights were when. But how old do you have to be, I guess, is what I'm asking, to remember seeing, because I was young. I'm 42 now.
He competed until 2005.
Yeah.
It says, but I don't know what those were.
I was definitely very young when he was awesome. I remember him getting knocked down in training. Do you remember that? When he fell down in training or got knocked down in training? And that was a big deal.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Because, like, he got knocked down just in sparring or whatever, and we made defenses for him, excuses for him on the bus. We were like, oh, well, he was tired. And then when Buster Douglas, when that fight happened, I just remember as a kid, I really thought of him. He's one of those athletes that I thought of as being some sort of a deity on another level. He was not someone that any person in my lifetime was going to beat. He just seemed completely godlike and unbeatable. And so when he got beat, it didn't make any sense to my little brain. This can't be. Tyson is indestructible. He can't lose fights, you know? And I was really upset about it. But,
He fought Holyfield. That last Holyfield fight was 1997.
Okay, I was going to say 96. So 97.
We fought him in 96, too. That was the first one.
Okay.
But I'm looking like, you know, there's all these wins. Even after the Buster Douglas thing, which was 1990, you know, he beat Donovan Ruddock twice, Peter McNeely, Frank Bruno. There was, you know, I remember some of those names. You know, before that, it was all 35-0, Michael Spinks, Tony Tubbs, Larry Holmes, Terrell Biggs, Tony Tucker. He beat everybody, Pinklin Thomas. But when I go to the end of his career here...
You said he lost to Douglas in 90?
Yeah.
Okay.
In 2005, he lost to a dude named Kevin McBride. He got knocked out in the sixth round.
Okay.
2004, he lost to a guy named Danny Williams. He got knocked out in the fourth round. He knocked out some guy in the first round before that, but then he lost that to Lennox Lewis. Okay, so his last fights were a loss to Lennox Lewis, a win over some guy named Clifford Etienne, and then a loss to Danny Williams and a loss to Kevin McBride.
Was that Clifford guy a white guy?
Kevin Martin McBride is an Irish white guy.
Okay, that must be who I'm thinking of then. I remember that guy going on talk shows to promote that. But yeah, then that means that I was 8 years old when he lost to Buster Douglas. So you have to be, I would say, to really remember him, you have to be at least in your 40s. At least.
Yeah.
I guess I'm definitely on the cusp there. So that's kind of crazy. It's not surprising once you said it, but just thinking about your kids not having any idea how awesome he was.
Yeah, I mean, they know who he is, but yeah, they had never seen him fight.
Right. And they don't have any fandom towards him because
he was
before their time. There's no reason. Maybe you liked him in The Hangover or whatever it was,
right,
but to actually be a fan of him as an athlete, as a boxer, I guess you'd have to be getting older now.
Well, they
spent a long time.
They both think that Jake Paul's going to kick his ass.
They do?
Yeah, they're like, he's 58 years old, Dan.
Yeah.
He's 58.
And that's that. The age is...
Like, he's 58. It. Like, what, you know.
I think that's an incredibly huge hurdle.
Right.
And I don't know that it's one that he can overcome. I really don't. It's 58 is 58. And Jake Paul's what, 28? He's in his late 20s. So 30-year difference. Now, if Paul hadn't been so serious, if we hadn't seen him fight before, maybe if you didn't even have these promotional things, any of that, you just knew that he was going to fight, I'd be saying Tyson's got this guy. But having seen Paul fight and seeing how serious he takes the whole thing and what good shape he's in, I wouldn't put money on it. I mean, I will.
Right, me too.
I will put money on it, but I'm not super confident one way or the other. I can't bet against Tyson just because I can't. He is one of those few athletes that just has that godlike status in my mind. As a kid, thinking that he was something more than human. There's only a few of those. Michael Jordan is up there, but Tyson was really
Jake Paul's 10-1.
Okay.
But I think that fight that he had because Tyson got sick on the plane or whatever.
Yeah.
And so they postponed it. I want to say, didn't he lose that one maybe? He lost to... He lost to Tommy Fury is who he lost, which is the younger Fury brother.
Oh, okay.
So he lost to him.
Was that a pay-per-view thing?
In 2023. He's had 1, 2, 3, 4 fights since then. So
I think I've only watched highlights of one of his fights. It was someone that... It was a name. Maybe it was Fury's brother. Because it was a name that I was somewhat familiar with, and I was surprised at how serious Paul looked. I don't know
right
when he started. In this thing on Netflix, do they talk about when he started training as a fighter? Do they talk about
they
that?
They do.
Like, well, he wasn't boxing when he was a teenager, right? This was something that he decided to pick up more recently?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they get into it.
Yeah, I'm interested. I want to watch
it. I mean, that's
it.
The thing. Like, the last time Tyson boxed was 19 years ago when he got knocked out by a couple of tomato cans.
Yep.
But then I'm like, well, Tommy Fury is the crappy little brother, and he knocked you out. Jake Paul. So, like, okay. Are either of these guys any good?
I mean, I'll bet Fury is decent.
I don't know that either one of them are good, but, you know, it should be an entertaining fight.
What I don't want...
Well, Tommy Fury, I'm saying that, you know, he's not... I don't know anything about him, but I did just look him up. He's 10-0, so...
What I don't want is for Paul to come out there and knock Tyson out immediately. That would be horrible. If he just came out there and whooped on Tyson... Because that could happen. Tyson could run out of steam really early on. And he's 58 years old. He could get tired really quick.
But it looks like Tommy Fury is, you know, obviously the younger brother. I want to make sure that he's the younger brother.
He's got to be. Well, he's related somehow. He's a Fury.
Right. He is the younger brother of Tyson Fury.
Okay.
But it looks like his last two fights were Jake Paul and then KSI.
Yes, we don't know how serious
he is. So he's fighting YouTubers, too.
I think that age thing is the thing. I think your kids are right. If unless Tyson can knock Paul out early and get him down, then how does he stay standing and have the stamina to keep up with Paul? But he is possibly the greatest. He's the greatest boxer of my lifetime.
Sure.
So he's also got skills.
I mean, there's only two. It's him and Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it. And Ali was before my time, so Tyson was the greatest of my lifetime. And just, if you didn't watch him fight, if you do go back and watch those documentaries or watch the highlight reels of those early fights, he was different. He was just different. There's something about him. And I don't know if he has any of that left, but I got to think that some of that God-given talent is still there, even at 58 years old. I'm excited. It's the most excited I've been for
a sport. He's going to have heavy hands, I promise you that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think Jake Paul's... If Tyson hits him, I don't think he's been hit like that before.
That's my thing. Even
that's the
older,
thing. That'll rattle your cage. Right? You know, I used to box when I was a kid, you know, and, you know, you get in the ring... And you know it right away when somebody hits you and you're like, oh, that didn't hurt. I'm going to whoop this dude's ass. And then when somebody hits you, you're like, Jesus, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, because he's just
you just know it.
That.
You know it right away. You're like, ow, yeah. I'm in trouble. I'm dizzy. That hurt.
Yeah.
You know, and so I would think if Tyson
he's gotta still
can hit him
that.
With one, you know, Jake Paul's going to be like, well, I did not realize that people hit this hard.
Right. Because Tyson doesn't look necessarily much smaller than he did back when he was fighting.
No.
That's the thing. It's not like they're wheeling him out there and he's totally out of shape. But I don't know what the difference is. Just even if you look the same between a 25-year-old and a 58-year-old, like, is that punch just not what it used to be at all, or is it close?
The quote, Mike Tyson, everybody's got a plan until you get punched in the mouth.
Yep.
I think he's going to hit Jake Paul in the mouth, but... I will put my money on Tyson, even at 58. I know it's crazy, but I would.
Well, I'm going to
But I think if it goes past, if he doesn't knock him out in the first two rounds, then he's in a lot of trouble.
That's what I'm saying.
He's
in
a lot of trouble.
Early,
if he doesn't hit him and, you know, send him feet up, then, boy, I don't want to see Tyson in the fifth, sixth round. That's going to be trouble.
The Church of Laszlo. On 98.9 The Rock.
Yo. What's going on?
You know all these... people who post stuff on Facebook about when I was a kid, we stayed out until the lights came on.
Drank out of the hose.
Exactly. Drank out of the garden hose. We smoked cigarettes when we were 3 years old.
Whatever I remember. It is,
things were better then.
Mm-hmm.
I do see kids playing outside in my neighborhood. And actually, I was walking the dogs one night and noticed that these kids were outside playing, and I heard like a bell in the distance, like a dinner bell type thing, a chime. And the kids went running, and I heard one of them saying, we got to go, dinner's ready. So I thought, that's crazy, like some mom or dad is coming outside and ringing a dinner bell. So I think kids do still play outside, but I don't know. But parents
I see them in my neighborhood.
That they're playing out there.
Outside, yeah.
I feel like they still do. I see them riding their bikes. Maybe they don't do it as much, but they're definitely doing it. I think maybe teens, they say teens do it less. I could buy that. Maybe they socialize more on Snapchat or social media. But... all these people talking about how great it was back then. What are the rules? What if your kid is outside playing after dark?
Okay.
And something happens to the kid. At what point do they say, "Hey, this was bad parenting. This was child endangerment. You shouldn't have because this kid was this age." Like, is it set in stone that if your kid is 10 or under, they have to have someone else with them when they're outside? I know we've talked about this for staying at home alone. If you want to leave your kid at home, is there a law? And I think when we looked it up in the past, different states did have different laws. But I've got a story here that I got to tell you about something that happened to a parent that I think might surprise you a little bit. And this parent getting in trouble for doing something that I think all these people on Facebook would say was a great thing. So I'll tell you in just a second.
Okay.
The Church, with the Church of Laszlo.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Yo!
Love to get your thoughts on this one, Laszlo.
Okay.
I saw it a couple places, but I actually saw it. One of the places I saw it was it linked to a libertarian magazine, which makes perfect sense because it seems like the kind of thing that would upset libertarians.
Okay.
You know, we were talking about the parent or the people who say that times were better when they were allowed to be free range, I think is one of the things.
Sure.
We were free range kids. We were allowed to stay out till the lights went on and all those things.
Yeah.
Well, there's a mom in Georgia who, it would seem, believes in that stuff.
Okay.
And she grew up that way, and she likes raising her children that way. She lives on a pretty big piece of land with her family. Her father lives there, and she's got aunts or uncles or siblings that live nearby. It seems like they've kind of grown up in the area. Her husband lives out of state. But she's got kids, and she got four children. And three of them, I think one of them might be out of the house, but and then the other three are at the house. But anyhow, her youngest son is 11 years old. Okay. And in October, a couple weeks ago, this mom had to take her kid to a doctor's appointment, one of the older kids.
Okay.
And the youngest kid was supposed to go with him, but he didn't make it back to the house in time for the appointment. She thinks, you know, he's just outside playing, whatever. So the 11-year-old is walking, unbeknownst to her, to the town, which is like a mile away. There's a little downtown area.
And how old is this
kid?
Near
where they live. He's 11 years old.
Okay. And how far is the town?
They said, let me find the exact distance here. I think they said it's about a mile, but maybe it's a little more.
It's not very far.
A mile, about a mile from the house. Okay. So he's headed to this downtown Mineral Bluff is what it's called. And as he's walking along the, I guess, interstate road, whatever it was. He's walking along the road. And a woman sees him walking along the road. She sees that he's alone. And she pulls over and asks if he's okay. He says he's totally fine. But that's not good enough for the woman. She calls the cops anyway. She doesn't like the looks of this 11-year-old walking on his own. So then the mom gets a call from the police. And the police say, hey, did you know that your son was in the city, in downtown Mineral Bluff, on his own? And she said, no, I didn't know that. And she said, you know, I'll scold him when I get home because he should tell me if he's going to walk into town. He would normally tell me that. He's supposed to be playing out on, I guess, the 16 acres something like that. So he should have told me if he was going to go into town. He didn't, so I'll scold him when I get home. So she gets home. Her son is there. She scolds him. Next time, tell me where you're going. She thinks that's that.
Okay.
But later that evening, around 6:30, 7 o'clock at night, by the way, the sheriff or the sheriff's deputy, I think it was the actual sheriff, had given this kid a ride home from Mineral Bluff back to the house. So later that night, the sheriff returns. He returns to the house.
Okay.
And this time, he puts the mom in cuffs.
For what?
He says, put your hands behind your back. And her kids are watching. Her three kids are sitting there watching. And the sheriff took her purse and her phone, put all that stuff in the cruiser, and hauled her off to jail. So she was totally confused. This doesn't make any sense. Why is this happening? But they said, look, this is endangering a child, and we're going to release you on a $500 bail. The next day, after they release her, there's a case manager from Family Protective Services, CPS, who shows up. They come out to the house to do a visit, see what the house looks like, talk to the kids, and they also went and visited the older kid at school.
Okay.
Not the kid who walked downtown, but the other kid, I think, that she'd taken to the appointment at school. I guess so you can get these kids alone. You know, you don't want them to be nervous that their parents are going to find out. And everything looked okay. They call it, what do they call it? Division of Family, DFCS.
Okay.
This DFCS agent, it seems like, thinks that everything looked okay. But a few days later, they present the mom with a safety plan. And they tell her she needs to sign the safety plan. And the safety plan would require, I'm just going to read this to you. It would require her to delegate a safety person to be a knowing participant and guardian and watch over the children whenever she leaves home. If the mom leaves home, there has to be a safety person. The plan would also require the mom to download an app and put it on her son's phone and allow his location to be monitored. And in this Libertarian magazine, they put in there, you know, the days when it would be illegal not to track one's kid is probably rapidly approaching. Like, they're arguing that we may get to a point soon where the government says you need to be able to monitor your kid.
Okay.
If you're not monitoring their location, then you're not being a good parent, right? But I don't know. That could just be them being a little nervous as libertarians. So, but she doesn't want to be compelled to download this app on her son's phone. And she also, she says she doesn't want her son to think that he's monitoring his location all the time because she's afraid that then he'll be nervous to go play at Fringe or whatever it is.
Right,
that he just will feel like my mom is kind of breathing down my neck, and she doesn't like that. She also, I think, I got the impression, just doesn't want to be forced to sign this thing.
She
says you're going to parent differently when she doesn't really think she did anything wrong. So she doesn't want to sign the safety plan. I'm guessing that when the Department of Family, Child Services, whatever, gives you a plan and says you need to sign this, that the fear is that if I don't sign this, they could take my kids away. I could get in a lot of trouble. You know, I don't know. That feels like one of those things where you say, sign it. And you just go, okay, fine. I'll sign it so that they go away. But she didn't want to sign it. And they say, in this case, the unspoken deal seems to be, and this is according to her lawyer, sign it and the state won't prosecute. If the state does prosecute, you can face a reckless conduct charge, $1,000 fine, and a year in jail. Now, I wouldn't think that they'd give her a year in jail, but who knows? Crazier things have happened.
I wouldn't believe that they'd go down there and do this.
I know.
I didn't believe that they had a parenting plan that you had to sign.
I didn't know if that's something you heard of before.
No.
Like, hey, sign this to make sure that, like, if they go to the house and there's...
I just feel like if your house isn't, like, you know, I don't know. I would assume that when CPS comes to your house, they're like, hey, look, you got to clean up around here, right?
Right, that sort of thing.
You know, there's cat piss everywhere, and we're going to come in whenever we want. It could be twice a week, could be once a week, you don't know. But this, you know, you better have it under control, or we could take your kids. That's what I would think. I wouldn't think that it'd be like, hey, here's a parenting plan,
right?
And you need to sign it. I think they may give you a parenting plan and be like, we think these are good ideas.
That's... Right. Totally different.
Right.
Hey, that's what because I now we've done what we need to do.
And
we
we're going to come in once a week and make sure this house is clean, that your kids know you know where they are.
If there's actual risk, if there's danger, whatever, if the kids look like they're not living in a good home, absolutely, that's your job. But I'm with you. That's when you put these plans together and you say, hey, here's what we came up with. Because you're thinking, she didn't really do anything wrong, and they're not too worried about it. But you have to have something so that if something does happen to this kid down the road, and they say, hey, you know, the Department of Family Services was called at one point, what happened, then at least they can say, well, we went investigated and we gave this family plan or whatever.
Right.
And at the time, there was no immediate danger. Now, her lawyer says that he wants to see the state of Georgia pass a law that allows authorities to check up on kids and then leave them as long as they aren't hurt. Well, does that mean that right now Georgia has a law that if they check up on you, they have to do something if they're just sent to check up on you? He says he'd like to see them pass a law that says authorities are allowed to check up on kids and leave them as long as they aren't hurt, in distress, or in actual immediate danger from an identifiable source. Meanwhile, as the case could not get weirder, the Department of Child and Family Services just mailed this kid, the youngest kid, a birthday card that was signed by the case manager. Because he just turned 11, I guess. And so they sent him a birthday card. And I guess that's supposed to, you know, make things better. Look, you know, we're nice. We come out this kid. The mom was like, look, the birthday greetings.
They might do that for everybody.
Birthday greetings aren't going to convince me to sign this thing.
No, but they might do that for everybody. Yeah, every kid that they talk to. Like,
probably do.
I think even if it's just being manipulative, like, hey, I'm your buddy.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, you can look at us. Happy birthday.
She's not signing it. She refuses to sign it.
What are they going
to
do about it?
I don't know yet. That's the thing. She's got a lawyer.
I did look up. The population of the town that he walked to was 223 people.
Okay.
So he walked a mile to a town with 223 people in it. Like, it doesn't sound like a big deal.
No, it sounds like their land probably touches almost right up to the downtown area.
So the kid was walking to what I'm guessing is like a, you know, some sort of old
little
five and dime that we don't even think about anymore.
Yes. We had it in Lee Summit, downtown Lee Summit. My friend and I would walk down there. We'd get a cheeseburger at the restaurant. We'd go to there was a drugstore down there. You could buy paintballs and BBs and stuff like that.
Sure.
And we would go down there when we were kids. We were definitely no older than he was. Certainly by that age, we were allowed to walk down there. And again, it was probably about a mile from his house. Maybe 3/4 mile. I'd say about a mile.
We were certainly, I don't know if it was a mile, you know, but around that, we were allowed to walk to the drugstore and go get candy or whatever.
Yes. Like, ride your bikes, whatever. And I if you see the kid alone and as a parent, you're concerned and you call the cops, okay. I don't know what I would do if I saw an 11. I know, actually, I probably wouldn't do anything. Such a kid says they're fine.
Yeah.
But if you are worried about them, then okay. And you live in a small town and you call the sheriff. That's not the end of the world. But it's weird that the sheriff can't look into it and say, hey, I'm going to call your mom. Calls mom. Mom's like, oh, we live right there. He wasn't supposed to walk over to those shops to downtown. It keeps saying downtown. It just sounds
right.
He wasn't supposed to walk over there without permission. So I'll let him, you know that when I get home. But, yeah, we live right there. It's just odd. And then to say you have to download an app on your kid's phone, and you have to monitor his location. That is crazy. You need to download this app.
Especially for that.
Yes.
And in Georgia. Think, like, I'm just in my head. I got to think there's 11, 12-year-old kids who are taking the subway to school in New York.
I would think.
I got to think
there's kids that maybe take a cab to get places, whatever it is.
Right.
Depending on where they live. Taking public transportation.
Right. taking a bus somewhere to
yes.
get to school, like, you know.
I don't know, man.
I think that
seems egregious.
Overreach, for sure.
Right? Like, and you could tell me...
And you could even say, like, hey, I don't agree with that style of parenting. A kid shouldn't be walking around wherever he wants.
Fine.
Okay, but it's none of your
fine.
Business.
Fine. But if anything...
There's not any danger.
If you told me there was a law that this fell under, I would think, well, I wonder if there's some sort of law that says... If the kid is alone, maybe they need to be with another kid if they're not going to have problems. I don't know. But just to think that an 11-year-old is walking a mile away from the house, to this, that, I would not think that's illegal. No way. If you said leaving him home alone is technically against state law
I'm for sure
more than half an hour
laws
or whatever.
For how old you can be to leave your kid alone.
They're usually, we've looked these up before.
I'm sure there are,
yeah,
right?
You leave them home. Some of them are even time limits. If you're leaving them for more than, and I don't know if that's every state, but when we've looked it up in the past, it says... This is how old they have to be if you're leaving them for more than half an hour, whatever. And I'm pretty sure it varied state by state. But so that part wouldn't surprise me. But an 11-year-old kid walking a mile, you know, 6,000 feet to these shops, and especially in a small town in Georgia, I'm surprised that the sheriff, does the sheriff not know who this kid is? Does the sheriff not know the mom? Maybe they do. It didn't say that he didn't know her. But I'm just kind of surprised that they don't know. And in the movies about these small southern towns, you see the sheriff calling.
Most of these just says no specific age. In California, child welfare services, including child protective services, are administered by counties. Counties are not empowered to set a minimum age limit.
See, that's one of those.
Colorado, no specific age.
Well, see, now that gets a little troublesome to me just because you say... You went after these parents who left a 10-year-old, but you didn't go after the other parents who left a 10-year-old. You know, and then it feels like you can kind of be biased. But maybe they should be allowed to be biased, at least based on living circumstances. Like you said, if the house is in disarray or whatever. I thought that we had read that there were ages. But, and maybe it goes by city, county, whatever. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's not states. But how old were your kids before you left them at home? I think 10 was when I was a kid. I thought once I was 10 years old, I had a feeling that I could be left home alone for a time. Not just like get home from school and be alone, because that was normal. Right. But to actually my parents could leave and leave me at the house for an hour or two. At 10 years old, that's when that started. It wasn't a long time, but they'd leave me at home at 10.
Yeah. I mean, I think I got home from school. My mom was at work.
Mine too. Yeah.
Like in the sixth grade, which is probably 11. You know, but I think, like, if they went out, like, they would go out bowling every Saturday. My sister had to watch me.
You get a sitter, yeah.
She had to watch me on Saturday nights.
Yeah. How old before you let your kids stay at home for a little while? Like, how long? Your oldest is 17 now, so I know part of it is that you don't want him to have to be responsible for his little brother.
Right.
But you could leave him at home for
I'd leave his little brother
hours
home.
And hours. Yeah, he's 13, so.
I mean, he's fine.
I feel like
at
13.
He's not that much older, but he's fine.
I feel like at 13 I stayed home.
Yeah, like I wouldn't be worried about him if I left him at home.
What if your youngest...
Like I'd text him and be like, yo, what's up? You good? And he'd be like, yeah.
What if your youngest said he wanted to walk by himself down to Micro Center or something? I don't know, some shops, some stores that were a mile and a half away. Or he wanted to ride his bike down there by himself. Would you allow it? I feel like if they're with a friend, it's different.
Yeah.
If they're with friends, yeah, if you're on your own...
Yeah,
then
I know he'll, like,
nervous.
Spend the night at his buddy's house, and they go over to, like, that... You know, I know they walk over to that Ranch Mart area
yeah.
and hang out. I'm like, all right, whatever.
What about monitoring their location?
I monitor the location.
You do?
I
okay.
do.
And they know it?
Yeah, they know that I can... Like, they know that I can check it anytime.
Yeah.
They know that I can check it on just finding my iPhone.
Right.
You know?
That's my thing with Find My iPhone. That should be close
right.
enough. Why does this lady have to download a different app? That it's kind of crazy. It does make me feel a little, hey, leave me alone, big government.
No,
I don't
does,
even have
right.
kids, but why are you telling this lady that she has to sign this parent, this safety person, put a safety person in
I
place?
I can't see why there's any
plan.
Problem with
it's
it.
Insane.
Even if you, like, kind of disagree.
Right.
Even if you're like, I don't think that's safe, it's still like, well, just don't do it with your
agreed.
Kid. Like, whatever. Like,
agreed.
You know, okay.
Yep.
Like, I don't
it's
know
egregious.
That I would, like, I don't know, it's not egregious.
It's not egregious.
It's not something where I'm like, what is your kid doing?
Yep.
You know, like, they stole the car and went, where?
right.
Right,
definitely.
And you're like, oh, no big deal.
Right.
I gave him the keys. I'm like, okay, no.
No.
But this is just, he walked into town, or, I don't know,
a
to
mile
buy
away.
Candy or something.
Yeah, seems fine.
Yeah, unless he's drunk, I don't see the issue.
98.9 The Rock. Your home for the Church of Laszlo. The Church of Laszlo.
Yo!
Yo! So I kept seeing this headline different places. Lint, the chocolate Tears, the chocolate company.
L-I-N-D-T, right? Yeah. Yeah, I know it.
Lindt admits its chocolate isn't actually expertly crafted with the finest ingredients in lawsuit over lead levels in dark chocolate.
Oh, boy.
I missed this one completely, Laszlo. But I guess it's because I don't have a subscription to Consumer Reports, and apparently they're the ones who originally did a bunch of tests on popular chocolate brands and announced that a lot of these chocolates had heavy metals in them, including lead, cadmium. And I guess they went after Lindt specifically because, and this is the funniest part to me, because even though maybe there were other bars that had more heavy metals, Lindt advertises as being expertly crafted with the finest ingredients. And so because of that, consumers here feel that there's some sort of expectation that...
Do the other high-end chocolates not say that?
I guess not, because I'll just read this to you. It's really
like
brief.
Like Godiva doesn't say we're expertly crafted?
I don't know what Godiva's tagline is. I guess the expertly crafted with finest ingredients is written on the Lindt chocolates. They make it sound like it's written on all the chocolates at Lindt, so I don't know what the other ones say. But it says that in a bid to dodge a U.S. lawsuit, Swiss chocolatier Lindt decided to backtrack on its own claims about the excellence of its product, a cornerstone of its marketing strategy. Lindt has unsuccessfully tried to end a class action lawsuit in the U.S., launched in February, questioning the presence of heavy metals in dark chocolate. Quote, in its defense strategy, the company has dismantled its own promise of quality. It says, the chocolatier's lawyers maintained that the words excellence and expertly crafted with finest ingredients printed on the bars were unactionable puffery.
Okay.
The court, which dismissed Lindt's motion, defined product puffery as, quote, exaggerated advertising, blustering, and boasting upon which no reasonable buyer would rely. Okay. That, to me, is advertising.
Yeah, right.
For the most part, right? You're going to exaggerate something. You're going to bluster. You're going to boast about how great your product is. And then if no reasonable buyer would rely, that kind of comes down to, we've heard lawsuits like that before. You go, a reasonable person would not actually expect this product to be high quality because of whatever. But with Lindt, it's more expensive, I guess. They said people are paying more. So this newspaper said, this is the Swiss newspaper. They
I
said
know, but
that,
what could you sue? Could you sue Popeyes because there's not a black woman from New Orleans making it?
This is where
like,
I go.
That's the
where we draw the line?
I'm talking about. Like, I know. I see.
It's not her
like,
recipe.
It's not.
It's just not. And
there's no way.
And I don't even know that it's any grandma's recipe.
Right.
Honestly, I'm not confident. And you're clearly selling me on that. Now, by the way, I love Popeyes.
So do I. I'm not making it.
Right.
So do I.
Any of those
it.
Companies. Where do we say... Now, if you say something's got strawberry and it doesn't have strawberry, I get that.
Right.
Say it's got ginger and doesn't have ginger. Okay, I get that. This is the thing I was telling you about, Laz, where the Minute Maid just says, Minute Maid lemonade, and in real big, it says, made with real lemons.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at the back, there's like 0.2% of
right,
lemon
sure,
juice as
right.
the final
right.
ingredient, just so they can say that. And I go,
right.
okay, well, what about that? To me, that seems like it's a little deceptive. You're trying to make it sound like it's made with lemons. That's where the lemon
it
flavor comes from.
Lemons.
Yeah, only technically, though, right? That's not where right. the lemon flavor is coming from, I don't think. I could be wrong. I don't want to get sued by them. But if you say what we have to change is this part where we say it's expertly crafted with the finest ingredients, that's funny to me. That's funny to me. It says consumers in Alabama, California, Florida, Illinois, Nevada, and New York have all taken legal action back in 2022 after this article first came out in Consumer Reports. They said that Consumer Reports tested 28 bars sold in the United States. One of the Lindt bars was among eight found to have high levels of cadmium. I don't know what the other ones are. While another was among 10 with high levels of lead. So it's like, well, why aren't those other companies being sued too? But I guess it's because of you saying that it's the finest and expertly crafted with the finest ingredients. Now, it also says, by the way, you mentioned Ghirardelli.
Also, what does that mean?
What,
expertly
high levels?
Crafted.
What does, exactly, what does that mean?
I mean
can a machine be expertly crafting something?
Yes.
I would think so.
An expert.
Yeah.
Expertly. Our chocolate makers made this machine to expertly craft this, like, I don't know how, you right?
That's what I'm saying. Even if the expert is an engineer who makes this machine.
Right.
That's impressive.
Someone had to come up with the chocolate.
Yes, there's a recipe,
right?
Yes.
And so whoever that person is, I'm guessing is, you know, fancies themselves an expert chocolatier.
Yeah. They said there were other manufacturers' candy bars that had higher concentrations of heavy metals, including some from organic brands. But they said consumers insisted in the class action lawsuit against Lindt that they're suing because they paid premium prices for Lindt, because they believe they are purchasing quality. Mm-hmm. And this even says, purchasing quality and safe dark chocolate. Well, yeah, I think any food that you buy, you hope is safe. Maybe not safe in the long run for your overall health, but safe to eat in that moment.
Sure.
Right?
It's not quick-acting poison.
It's not quick-acting poison. If it can lead to obesity or whatever, and then in moderation, it's safe to eat. So the fact that you have to change it, well, now this whole thing is on hold, I guess. They're saying that they're going to backtrack this expertly crafted with the finest ingredients and hope that that takes care of everything. That lawyer was saying that they were, in that newspaper was saying that they were walking a very fine line, walking a tightrope, hoping that this lawsuit doesn't go further. But if they just say, we're going to stop with the... So, I mean, I get the impression we're going to stop saying that.
We're not expertly crafted.
Just get rid of the expertly crafted with the finest ingredients. Like, are they actually going to stop printing that?
If you sell it for a higher price and put it with the expertly crafted chocolate of other brands,
what's
then people just assume that it's expertly crafted.
And are they
you see what I'm saying? Like, if you put it... If you go into Neiman Marcus and you stop by the little, you know, end shelf there, and there's, you know, I don't know, See's candy and, you know, like we said, Godiva, and then
Ghirardelli
Lindt
was on here.
Right, Ghirardelli. You put all those there together, right, and some of these other high-end ones. Well, your product really doesn't need to say expertly crafted. Just by the cost of it, I assume that it is.
Absolutely.
Right? That's like, I'm like, oh, that's more expensive than Hershey's.
Yep. If I pay $1,000 for a bottle of wine,
like
I assume
Charles Elbow or whatever it is,
Christopher Elbow.
Yeah.
And I will say
my mother has that laying around her house.
Where was it? The Ghirardelli thing. Since you brought them up, I think they were listed. I don't have the Consumer Reports original Consumer Reports article, but that Ghirardelli is one of the brands that they listed as being safer. So it must have done better in these other tests, but. Do they actually take this off of the... If it's printed on every chocolate bar, do they actually stop printing that on the bar? They say this is their defense strategy, is to dismantle
on
its
the
own...
bar or on the wrapper?
On the wrapper, I guess, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
They're saying that they have... This is their defense strategy, is to dismantle its own promises of quality. Well, if that's the case, does that mean you're going to stop putting that on the wrapper?
Man, I feel like...
Or running it in the commercials?
I don't know. I mean, look, they're experts.
I guess so.
I feel like the better thing would be, defend the expertly crafted.
Why not
part
do
of
that?
Like,
part?
I'd be like, hey, we are expertly crafted.
Yeah, who are these lawyers? It seems ridiculous. And also, I got the impression from these articles that they're going after Lindt because it costs more? That there were other bars with these heavy metals, but that they chose Lindt because they thought it would make a better defendant? I don't understand. But I am a person who's been looking for one of these for a long time. I've read stories about people getting $1 million or more for being mad because there wasn't an ingredient that they thought was supposed to be in their food or their beverage or whatever.
No, you've been trying to find
one. I've been trying. But even I, the guy looking for a lawsuit, I have to say,
you know, expertly crafted it is. I mean, but still, like, they put it on a thing, like, you know, but if you're looking for that lawsuit.
But couldn't an expert say what the secret is a little bit of cadmium? A little bit of extra lead. I mean, that could be your expert. Your expert says, I'm an expert, and I say it's safe to eat that amount. And I think, actually, it adds to it. And they say, no, that can't be it. It's not going to make it taste. But you say, I'm the expert. I just don't know how
you... Are you an expert?
Right, how you argue that.
Is that what you say to the judge? Are you an expert?
Are you the expert? I'm the expert.
What do you know about chocolate?
The chef's hat on? I've seen those Lindt commercials.
Right. What do you know about chocolate?
They will change my perception of those commercials where the guy's hand making the little bonbon.
Well, you didn't ever think he really did.
Of course not. Of course not. But it's kind of funny now that this has come out and that's their defense. I'm with you. This is bad crisis management. It's just bad lawyering.
I would not be
this
like,
isn't
hey,
the story you want out.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we admit it. It's crap. That's not what you want.
No.
What you do is you argue it to the death and you say it is expertly crafted. They are experts. And it is the finest quality.
Right.
What we consider the finest. Yeah. It's great. Because I think it tastes good. I've had Lindt chocolate.
I don't remember having it.
It's pretty good. You've probably had people give it to you at Christmas.
I mean, I can picture it in my head. I see
individually wrapped little.
Yeah, I know what it is.
Yeah. It's pretty good. Pretty good. But I guess, you know, stick with Russell Stover's.
Yeah, why not?
I saw there was something going on with Hershey, too. But, you know, if they're saying we're going to sue one of these chocolate companies and they list a bunch of them, I'd go after Lindt. They say it's Swiss. Okay. I feel better about that.
Don't they all?
I think.
Swiss chocolate?
I don't know, but Hershey bought a lot of them, so I think. Yeah, I don't want to go after the American company if I don't have to. Now, if I don't have a choice, Pop-Tarts, I don't have a choice, right? Mm. But if I got a choice, I'm like, just go after the Swiss one. I don't know. Get them to pay. And what
is Hershey owned Lindt or does it?
No. Nothing to do with Lindt. But I think they own, like, I think they bought Cadbury a while back. And I think they own a lot of stuff. They could have a parent company that's outside of the United States now, too. I don't know. When I was a kid, it was a huge deal being in Hershey, Pennsylvania. They've got the amusement park and the street lights are made out of Hershey's Kisses and you can smell chocolate. I don't know if they still make any chocolate there or not. But, you know, I used to think of it as America's chocolate. It was America's chocolate company, was Hershey. You could tell me that it's been dismantled.
$4.97 billion in 2022.
Seems pretty good.
Lent.
Seems pretty good. For
I would have never thought.
Swiss specialty chocolate.
14,000 got owned. They have 14. Well, here you go. Their subsidiaries are Ghirardelli.
Oh, they own Ghirardelli. Okay.
Russell Stover.
Oh, damn it! They own Russell Stover.
Caffarel, Haverchur, and something else.
Oh, I'm sorry, Russell Stover. I did not mean to. Do this.
There you did it.
I eat Russell Stover all the time. All the time. I ate some last night, so it's I vouch for it. Russell Stover's delicious, and I didn't see it show up in this test. They may be the parent company or whatever, but I didn't see anything about Russell Stover in this.
Threw Russell Stover underneath the bus.
No, I didn't. I know.
Headquarters right here in Kansas City.
I know, but their name wasn't listed on here, so they must be fine. I'm sure they're fine.
Owner, Lindt and Sprungly.
I'm sure they're fine. I'm sure that's why they've decided, hey, we don't want to move our chocolate-making stuff over to Switzerland. Hell no. We're going to continue making it here.
They invented the Eskimo pie?
Who did?
Russell Stover.
I didn't know that.
1922 photo of Eskimo pie inventor Christian Kent Nelson, who partnered with Russell Stover to develop the product.
Wow. There you go. A Kansas City invention. There you go.
They invented the Eskimo pie, and we invented Eskimo Brothers.
Yeah. That's enough about that.
More from the pulpit coming up. The Church of Laszlo.
Preach, brother!
On 98.9 The Rock.
Yo!
Yo! That's it, my man. You hungry for chocolate now? I am, actually. I'd like to stop and get some. Where'd you say that Russell Stover's place is?
There's one right down the street there.
Okay.
Did you know in April 2021, Russell Stover entered an agreement with the Topeka Correctional Facility to form a work release program, hiring 150 inmates to work at their Lola and Abilene facilities in Kansas?
Nope.
Me neither.
Have you ever been to the chocolate factory? That sounds, you know what, just forget it. My dad told me that when you got a job there, he would tell us this when we were kids, that when you got a job there, you were allowed to eat as much chocolate the first month as you wanted because they wanted you to get sick of it so that you wouldn't steal later.
Mm, like Willy Wonka?
I guess so. He acted like that was a true thing. Like, yeah, you know, the first month they let you eat as much as you want so that you get it out of your system. And I thought, oh, man, I want to work there.
Well, I worked at a Little Caesars. I never got tired of their pizza. So
I know.
It wouldn't
that's
have
what
worked.
I'm thinking. You don't get tired of chocolate.
Mm-mm.
I worked at Applebee's. I still eat there at least twice a week. Yeah,
that was devastating for you last week.
Yeah, they closed a lot of them. A lot. It was bad news. But what can you do, man?
I don't know. Anyway, Rodolphe Lindt, good show. Stay positive, kids.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4. Charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.